The News and Public Affairs Department of the Gordon Broadcasting Company presents Viewpoints. Viewpoints, a program dedicated to the establishment of a better understanding between members of San Diego's white and Negro communities, and featuring the spontaneous, unrehearsed opinions and comments of San Diegans of all races. This program is presented each week at this time by KSDO Radio in the belief that only through a meaningful exchange of viewpoints can we dispel the unfortunate misunderstandings that too often exist between people of different religious and racial backgrounds. Your hosts on Viewpoints are the Reverend E. Major Shavers and Mr. Harold Brown, who appear as interested members of the Negro community. They invite your telephone comments and questions. The number to call is 234-8361, 234-8361. And now your co-host for tonight's program, the Reverend E. Major Shavers.
Good evening. Integration is, in its broadest terms, which has provoked international concern and endless discussion, is the topic for this evening's program. I will share with you a good proverb at the very outset that expresses my viewpoint very well. Together we stand, divided we fall. You see, I am pro-integration, for it seems to me that it is the moral, ethical, and spiritual demand of the universe and of the true American way of life, without which we cannot have a standardized social system that assures all American citizens equality of opportunity in the areas of education, economics, politics, health, welfare, and recreation. History has revealed over and over again that the basic cause for human conflict is racial division. This has been true from tribal times. Racial division is the underlying cause of our national crises. And as long as there exists the inflexibility of white attitude in their opposition to the black people of this land, in their effort to share fully in the great American dream, demonstrative expressions of discontent is to be expected.
We'll begin accepting your telephone calls in just a moment. But first, a word from your Viewpoints co-host, Mr. Harold Brown.
Our program for this week is Integration. What does integration mean to you? What do you think it means to San Diego? There are many views that will be expressed by our listening audience. Some will think integration means intermarriage. Some will think it means an end to racism in our country. But before we take your calls, let me give you my viewpoint. I think integration has been used by white America as a detour to the full privileges of citizenship. Integration is not a direct route to fair play and equality of opportunity. Integration is a detour around in order to keep minorities second and third class citizens. Years ago, white citizens called upon black people to clean ourselves up before we could become first class citizens. After they wore out that phrase, white America said, "Become educated." So after they had held us down all these years, preventing us from becoming educated, they bombarded us with their statistics to prove that we were not as educated as they. Well, we fought our way out of that trick bag. Then we were told we had to improve our speech. Now we are being told that we should integrate in order to become full citizens, when we know that we have many obstacles in our path to prevent this integration. I think we have been getting the runaround all these years. Now it is time for black and white America to openly talk about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Viewpoint. I am E. Major Shavers,
and I'm Harold Brown.
Viewpoint is a program designed to provoke frank discussion, as it was indicated at the very outset, on many subjects that has concerned the people of our community as well as the nation. We feel that through this unique kind of radio dialogue, progress can be made in building bridges of understanding between the majority and minority groups. Before receiving our first call this evening, we have suggested a few ground rules that hopefully will be observed. But first, to express your viewpoint, call 234-8361. And to ensure a good reception, turn your radio down before you call. In the interest of public decency, please, ladies and gentlemen, do not use profanity on the air. Address your viewpoint to the selected subject for this evening's broadcast. Please try to be as brief and to the point as possible because of the limited time that we have to hear many others who wish to express their viewpoint. Thank you. Stay tuned now to KSDO, aisle 1130 on your radio dial. 234-8361.
I see we have a call, Reverend Shavers. Let's take it and see, get our first viewpoint.
Hello?
Viewpoint.
Yes, I would like to speak a moment about integration. My point is, I feel America should be truly integrated, and what a rich experience we deny our children by this so-called system of separate but equal. The Negro is the only one in America to save America. If this tug of war continues here, black versus white, it will undermine our stand abroad. There is no other way to have a united America. The integration of all schools should be done with deliberate speed. Do you agree?
Yes, madam, I agree with you thoroughly. Is that your viewpoint?
That is my viewpoint, and when we speak of integration, why do we have all the trouble with our schools here in San Diego?
Mr. Brown, would you like to answer that question?
Well, the question can be answered simply because the housing problems that have existed and the school board, which has not taken any drastic measures to correct the de facto segregation problem that exists.
Is there any way that we might express our discomfort and to the school board?
Yes, madam. I think that there is ways by which we may express our discontent, as that it, we would attend the school board meetings. They meet regularly each week. And I would suggest that all citizens should take a special interest in attending these meetings.
Thank you.
Thank you. Viewpoint.
Viewpoint.
Can I talk to Mr. Brown, please?
Yes, Mr. Brown.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Did I understand you to say that you're against integration?
No, you didn't.
Well, I seen you were talking about integration as being a form of second-class citizenship.
Well, I just pointed out to you and to the listening audience that integration has been a means for the white community to excuse itself and to prolong the real full citizenship that is entitled to every American citizen, be he Negro or what have you. And integration has been an excuse, and it has been a means of going around the issue of really making the Negro and other minorities first-class citizens.
Yeah, but that really is a rationalization to a certain extent, too. Now, I'm a white American, and I recognize what hasn't been done for a number of years, say 100 years. On the other hand, I am in great sympathy with your cause of integration, our cause of integration, as a matter of fact. It's as important to the white man as it is to the black man. And I would not want you to however, do anything to impede integration with your kind of rationalization or maybe a chip on the shoulder attitude toward white people who are sincere.
That's not a rationalization, nor is it a chip on the shoulder. It is merely an objective analysis and taking a clear look at the integration process. Many people think that you must integrate fully. I say that you first become an American citizen, a full American citizen, and integration will follow without any trouble.
Yes, but it's really a question of the chicken and the egg, you know, because this is a manifestation of full citizenship, and this is small enough manifestation to do to the Negro who has been denied first-class citizenship for so long.
Well, you see, sir, integration to me isn't as important as first-class citizenship.
But how do you get first-class citizenship? What does it mean to you?
Well, just give me first-class citizenship. You don't have it to give, but this country says I am a first-class citizen. That's what I should be right now, and I don't have to go through the integration process in order to get it.
But respectfully, sir, what does that mean to you? If you were to have first-class citizenship by taking a pill tonight and waking up tomorrow morning, what would that mean to you?
Well, it means to me, sir, that I would be given all the equal opportunities, not only myself, but all black people and all other minorities in this country would be given equal access to all the privileges and the comforts that a full citizenship entitles you to.
One of which would be that you could properly integrate socially, economically, and whatever other way.
Well, I integrate socially now and economically.
Well, then you're on your way to first-class citizenship.
But why does it take that? I should have that whether I live in a black ghetto or anything else. I should still be a first-class citizen.
But everything must begin someplace. Even mistakes have to be overcome, and we have to start someplace.
Well, let's give everybody first-class citizenship, then we'll worry about integration.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Viewpoint. Viewpoint.
I would like to take a point with Mr. Brown. I thoroughly disagree with his opinion about integration. I don't see how he can expect things to ever get better if we do not integrate. And as far as that goes, my own feeling is I have been raised, I'm a San Diegan, I've been raised with Negroes, and I think that here in the North, we have an advantage because we don't have this historical situation of rivalry between the two races such as you have in the South. And I think that also, as long as this continues, this terrible friction between the two, this leaves the door wide open for the communists to get in and just play havoc with everybody. And that's exactly what they're doing. That is really meat for them. And I think that the majority of the problem is not caused by the Negro, but if I may be frank, is caused by a nigger. And I believe that there's a difference between the two. This is the difference between there's a white man and there's white trash. And I think that any Negro is just as good a man as anybody that's white as a sheet. And Negroes here in our community are outstanding people for the most part, and they have their houses are just as good as anybody else's, and there are plenty of Negroes out there at State College that'll be outstanding citizens when they graduate. And I think that it's just a real shame that they have to be put down like this. There's no reason for it at all.
Sir, we appreciate your comments. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Viewpoint.
Yes, I wonder if one of the gentlemen can answer a question for me. I have worked for the past year and a half with people in Southeast San Diego on the theater group. I worked as secretary calling people to meetings. And I've gotten promise after promise that they would show up. They knew the meetings for every Saturday afternoon. And
you speak a little clearer, madam. We cannot understand you.
Five people show up after I'd made hundreds of phone calls. I mean, they promised they'd be there, and then they wouldn't show up. Now, in my own race, I know when I was in the Women's Club, if I'd call people and they promised to be there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for calling.
No one has answered my question. Why is that failing?
Madam, we cannot hear you clear enough.
I said, why do the Negro people promise to do something and don't do it? They don't follow through.
Would you like to answer that question, Mr. Brown?
Well, I don't know what she's referring to, but
I
imagine that... May I continue?
I'm the secretary of them. I used to call hundreds of people.
Yes, well, we're not perfect either, so I guess we have the same imperfections that we just don't do everything that we say we're going to do. But we certainly thank you for calling, madam, and good night.
Viewpoint. Viewpoint.
Hello, Viewpoint?
Yes.
I am calling in on the program here, and the thing that I would like to have cleared up is why so many, in so many cities, there are demonstrations which seem to have communistic overtones and actually do more harm than good to the Negro's cause. It seems that sometimes there is a frenzy built up among the demonstrators, and then the everything that you have worked for is lost in just a few minutes.
Sir, I don't quite understand what you mean by the Negro cause. Why should the Negro have a cause any more than any other American citizen? We all have a cause, and that is to be a good American.
Well, granted,
right?
that's true, that we all have that that privilege, and we're obligated to be good Americans, to be born in this country and to respect what we have here. But my my question is that it seems, for instance, Walter Winchell, in his column a few weeks ago, said that as soon as Martin Luther King left Chicago, then the trouble seemed to ease down.
Sir, our subject tonight is integration. Could you address your viewpoint to that subject?
Well, I think this pertains to that subject, and integration in housing was the problem, and the thing that was being demonstrated for in Chicago at that time.
Uh-huh. Now, what is it that you would like me to answer, sir?
Don't you feel that occasionally, or maybe more than occasionally, some of the demonstrations get a little too frenzied and a little too out of hand and not peaceful as they are supposedly supposed to be?
That is quite possible. I agree that when we have demonstrations, you have many different attitudes participating, and we can't all be perfect people. And when we are infuriated by some of the things that we have to experience, you can't expect people to be the best, the ideal. Maybe what you are expecting of the Negro is more than he has been able to receive from the people that has the power to give. Mr. Brown, would you like to add to this particular question?
Well, I think all I have to say is that all the demonstrations in this country have been initiated from a nonviolent, peaceful basis. And the only time that we have had any violence has been when the white community has resisted so much to such an extent that it caused violence. Otherwise, there would not have been any violence.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Viewpoint. Call 234-8361. Viewpoint. Viewpoint.
Hello.
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 Yes, Viewpoint.
I would like to make a comment.
Yes.
The lady that spoke about Negroes who should have responded to some community playhouse, I believe. I would like to call her attention to the fact that the Coventry Players were scheduled here in San Diego September the 27th on a large program. They did not show, they did not send word, and the Coventry Players also disappointed a group at SeaWorld a couple of months ago. So I think that we should not look at the color of one's skin. The other comment I would like to make, why is it that white feel they have the power to give to the black man of America his rights? I think the black man in America should have equal rights. He should not be subject to receive them from what we call the power structure. Do you agree?
Yes, I thoroughly agree, madam, and thank you for calling. And I believe that if we all had the attitude that you have just expressed, we would realize that all humanity suffers some imperfections. As the covenant players fail to show up, so will others fail to show, and many other things and places where punctuality and dependability is much to be desired. Thank you very much for calling. This is Viewpoint. Call 234-8361. Call 234-8361 to express your viewpoint. Viewpoint.
Yes. I would like to make a comment as an immigrant to the United States about the Negro here. About these demonstrations, which the gentleman just finished saying that usually a demonstration ends up to being a riot. Because of the American, the white people really resist the Negro. I don't believe that's right. The white people do not resist the Negro people here. As a matter of fact, I think that the Californian people agree with a lot of the things the Negro people do, and they consider them as brother and brother here in California, and I don't understand, and perhaps he could explain to me why so many demonstrations end up as being as riots here in California, where really the Negro has as many rights as the white people do. And I have seen this, not as an American or as a white person from the United States, but I have observed this as an immigrant from a foreign country where people actually have less rights and they have less riots.
Uh-huh.
Could he explain why these demonstrations end up in riots when actually they have just as many rights?
Now, do you want me to answer your question, madam?
Yes, I do.
Would you have me answered or Mr. Brown?
I don't mind which one of you, whoever made the comment that Negroes don't have the same rights in California. I just, don't mind which one answers.
Well, I'll answer that. I think it's just naivete to even suggest that the problems don't exist here in California and in San Diego.
Here in San Diego, I have seen hundreds of students going to with Americans, with Negroes, and there's no difference. I mean, I went to school here, and we take showers, and have a lot of fun together, and we're just friends with each other. We're not enemies or anything like they make it up to be. I think there's a lot of rationalization here.
Well, let me explain this. I am friends, too, with whites, but racism still exists. I am still denied many opportunities. I always have been.
You have the right to vote. You have the right of speech. You have the right of the press.
All right. Do you know anything about employment in this country? Do Negroes have access to the jobs and all the different job categories in this? Pardon?
I'm a white person, and I'm having as much trouble with finding a job as any American is.
Well, you'd have more trouble if you were black.
I don't believe so, sir, because I'm a foreigner.
Well, the foreigner, is your skin white or is it black? Now, if you're black, you're going to have more of a problem finding jobs in this country and in San Diego than if you are a white person.
Tweener, and I'm having a problem finding a job, but I just believe that the Negro and the white, both the same, have as much of a problem.
Well, I'm not saying that the white doesn't have a problem, but I'm saying if these persons are qualified and both are equally qualified, being white and being black, if you will investigate, all it takes is a physical observation of the different employment companies around here. Take a look, and you will find...
I have seen that more and more Negroes are being employed.
Well, when you say more and more Negroes, you are admitting then that the problem does exist and that there were fewer number of Negroes before because now they are hiring more, you see.
That's right. I am admitting that there was a problem.
Oh, but there's no problem now?
It's being solved.
Oh, it's solved now.
It's solved, and I don't see why all these demonstrations are resulting in riots.
Okay, well, if you think it's solved then, madam, thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
This is Viewpoint.
Hello.
Viewpoint is a program designed to provoke frank discussion, ladies and gentlemen, on many subjects that may concern all of our people and every community in America. We feel that through this kind of unique radio dialogue, progress can be made in building bridges of understanding. Viewpoint.
I'm getting his words about 1 second ahead of him. Hello?
Hello. Viewpoint.
Yes? Hello?
Yes.
Hello. I'd like to talk to the gentleman who... I'd like to talk with the gentleman who said he was unhappy with the fact that the integration had taken place.
Is that your question, sir?
Yes. Well, I don't know which one of you two.
I think that must have been Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown, would you like to answer that question?
Well, I'm not clear in what he's saying. The integration has not taken place. Is that what you're saying, sir? Hello, are you still there?
The timing between the phone and the radio is off.
I see. Did you get my remarks?
Yes, I got your remarks, and I understood you were not happy with integration, and my question is, what would you substitute for this integration?
Well, let me correct you. I did not say I was not happy with integration. There is a degree of integration in this country, but there is still a large degree of segregation. However, I'm not so concerned about whether or not we have full integration at this point. I maintain that we will have full integration, and the country will only exist through integration. But I'm not so concerned about integration at this point as I am about full citizenship for every person in this country. That's what I'm saying. Yes, you still there?
Yes, I am still here, and I would still like to know what you would have preferred to this integration.
Well, give me equality of opportunity and give every other American equality of opportunity, and you won't have to worry about integration. Thank you for calling, sir.
Viewpoint.
Mr. Brown?
Mr. Brown?
I'd like to ask Mr. Brown a question.
Yes.
I'm Mr. Brown, but before you ask this question, may I ask the listening audience to please turn their radios off while talking? Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Brown, I'd like to ask you a question. I'm a Caucasian. I've always considered that the Negro in the United States has not gotten quite an equal deal. But why is it that so many Negro leaders, once they become leaders and once they're given the opportunity of leading their people, why is it that they forget their people and look out for their own pocketbooks?
Well, I suppose that in this affluent society in America, that everyone is trying to get something for himself, and it becomes very easy for the black people to do just as white people and everyone else is to look out for himself. I agree with you. This is a tragedy when there are so many people who need the help of their leaders, and black people need their leaders to help them after they have made it.
I think, Mr. Brown, white people, Caucasians, and Negro people all need the help of their leaders. I don't think it's just the Negro.
Yes, I agree with that.
I don't think it's the Caucasian. But there are... This seems to be... I happen to have had quite a great deal of dealings with this. And I, unfortunately, have found that this happens to be the case. And it's a little hard to understand why people do this.
Yes, I think we have to take in the human element, but I agree that but I want to say this, there are many leaders who have risen to the top and still look out and try to help the many blacks who have not. And I think we can't discount them. We have to recognize that,
well,
too.
Are there in the city of San Diego, Mr. Brown, any Negro leaders, I mean actual leaders of the Negro society?
Well, I think we have many people classified as Negroes who are leaders in the various fields, such as white people are leaders in their various fields.
I mean, we hear, Mr. Brown, of many leaders in town in Caucasians.
Well, I think we would have a lot of black leaders if they were given the opportunity to participate fully in politics and so forth.
Negro leaders in the San Diego community. I mean, there's the Reverend Smith, there's Judge Gilliam, but
that's
outside
right.
of this, who would you consider leaders in the Negro community?
Well, we have many, many leaders. On which level of leadership are you talking about?
I'm talking about leaders leading the Negroes in business and otherwise.
Yes, we have.
Actually leading them. I think this is the vital thing, the lack that the Negroes as a whole have. They have a lot of articulate individuals, but they don't have leaders.
Are you talking about persons who can lead the masses of Negroes?
Yes, I'm not talking about riots or anything else. No. I'm talking about business people to lead them in the world of business, to lead them in the world of culture. I mean, I know Judge Gilliam, I know the Reverend Smith, but outside of this, are there any leaders in this town?
Well, in that capacity to lead a mass number of black people anywhere in that particular sense, no, there are no leaders in that particular sense. But however, there are many people who are considered Negroes who are leaders in their respective fields.
Mr. Brown, isn't this actually the greatest tragedy of the Negroes as a whole, that there are no actual leaders to lead them?
No, I don't think it's such a tragedy. It's an understanding, considering the whole plot of racism in this country. The racism system was planned that way so that there would be no leaders. Now we are getting out of racism. We're fighting against racism, and we will produce leaders.
Well, I think this is very important, because I think in the city of San Diego, there are a great many Negroes who profess to be leaders, who are leading their people down the wrong trails.
Well, we're going to.
It's important that the intellectual Negro realize this and let their compatriots understand that these people are not helping them but hurting them.
Yes, I agree. And we're certainly going to provide that leadership, sir. And thank you very much for giving us your viewpoint.
Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you for calling. If we have not answered your question, responded to your viewpoint, to your satisfaction, please stay tuned to KSDO. We are sure that there are those who are listening in this evening who may wish to call 234-8361 and express their viewpoint, and possibly we'll have the answer to your question. Viewpoint. Viewpoint.
Yes, sir. There are so many noted Negro educators and writers and, really people who have made their mark in the world, that I am wondering, do you consider these superior people, or because of their lack of education and the things that you say, well, are these the superior people who have made their mark for what reason?
I'm not sure that I understood your first statement,
Madam.
Well, you said that
you have not had the opportunities. How have these people who have made their mark, how have they done it then? Are these the superior people of this world?
Mr. Brown, I think you'll have to answer this question.
Well, just as the slave escaped from slavery, and just as the slaves attempted to jump over the ships when they were brought from Africa, so are many, many black people today breaking out of this system and are overcoming the system and are aspiring to do things and succeed in becoming leaders in their respective fields.
Yes, but these people have done it. And what do you ascribe this to, the fact that they have done it and possibly you have not done it?
Well, many black people in this country have accomplish things in spite of racism.
Yes, and then these are the superior people who have been able to accomplish this. Are you sure, sir, that you are not using your race as a reason, an excuse for not being successful?
Well, you're making a couple of assumptions. One is that...
No, I'm asking you.
Well, one assumption that you make is that I am not successful.
Well, are you?
Pardon?
Are you?
Well, I'm successful as far as I am concerned. I think that many Negroes are successful in the sense that they are happy doing what they want to do and are doing it well, but I still think that you have to ask yourself, what would many, many, many black people be doing in this country, and how much success would they experience if they had the equal opportunities that white people
have? I've been in all of the nicer restaurants in the schools. I teach myself. I find no evidence in this part of the country of any of the things of which you speak. Where do you find these things?
You know, equality of opportunity just isn't eating in a restaurant.
Well, you read the Wall Street Journal.
Do I read the Wall Street Journal?
The Wall Street Journal, and I'm sure that you cannot question their articles, in the meantime, they tell us that the Negro at this point has a much better chance of a scholarship than any of our white youngsters.
That's comparatively speaking.
Because the pressure that you and your groups are putting on us. I heard one of the girls on your program say that she was having a very difficult time finding a job, and yet the Wall Street Journal tells us that in the meantime, because of your race and the pressure you're putting on, that you are having far more success than most of our people.
Well, you know, madam, after all those years of oppression in this country, you know, the black people in this country today deserve to have some type of opportunities because they haven't had them before.
Do you believe, truthfully, that all people are born equal?
Well, it all depends what you mean by equal.
Equal of opportunity and so on.
Not in this country. They're not born equal.
Well, I feel sorry for you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for calling, madam.
Very inadequate answers.
Thank you very much for calling. 234-8361. 234-8361. Viewpoint. Viewpoint.
Hello, I'm a student at Coronado High School, and you were talking about de facto segregation. I wondered if you'd explain exactly what this means.
Well, I'm not sure that we mentioned de facto segregation. The subject for discussion this evening is integration.
Well, I thought that's what it was integrating in the school. Segregation means that there's unequal whites to the number of blacks, and if you integrate it, you solve this problem.
Well, we do have de facto segregation in our city schools. Would you deny this?
Oh, yes, I know. There is segregation. See, I go to Coronado High School, which is all white, and I'm wondering if you're going to integrate the schools, will I have to get up extra early to go to Lincoln or Morse High School or someplace else?
Well, I think we have a simple answer for that question, sir. If we had integrated housing, then, of course, it would not be necessary to drive across town or to bus children from one community to the other.
Well, how soon do you think this will come about?
Just as soon as the white power structure decide that they would do away with the system of racism in America, and while all American citizens will enjoy the same rights and privileges as is being enjoyed now by you, if you are Caucasian, are you?
Oh, but yes, there are different prices in the houses, though, and if the Negro can't afford it, they're either going to have to lower the prices of the houses or give the Negro some money. Do you see this?
Oh, I think that there are Negroes that can afford to live just about most any place in San Diego, but the right is, the question is, he wants to feel that he has this right. The community in which I live presently, 6 years ago, was occupied almost 80% by white people. They moved to another community, and my judgment wasn't near as nice. But they moved away simply because that we moved in.
Well, I wish there were more Negroes in Coronado because I'm on the track team here, and we're going to need some help, and Lincoln takes the CIF championship in track and field every year with their team.
Well, why don't you go to work in Coronado there and help to break down the segregated housing system.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling. Call 234-8361.
But I would like to ask Mr. Brown, why does he refer to Negroes as black? And I think Negroes would feel much better as a whole if they were referred to as Negroes, as a race instead of a color.
Well, of course, we are getting off the subject. I'm sure that Mr. Brown would be willing to answer your question. But are you addressing this to some degree of integration?
Well, sort of, because I think that the color barriers, like when they say the black man and the white man, I think that adds a whole lot of contrast to the racial situation today. And I think that if they would refer to Negroes as Negroes and Caucasians as Caucasians, we would get along a whole lot better instead of referring to us as black men and white men, you know, like that. After all, we are, you know, as a whole, we all are human beings, and no one is black and no one is really white. And so I think that it would make the whole situation a whole lot better if some of the Negro leaders of, you know, these civil rights movements and stuff like that would refer to Negroes as Negroes and Caucasians as Caucasians.
I think, sir, I am Negro, and if you'd want to call the so-called Negro, but I think historically we understand that the term Negro was not applied by the Negro himself. This is an identification that was placed upon the Negro by the white community, and for identification purposes. Now, I have no objection whatsoever of being referred to as a black man. As a matter of fact, I think there is some distinction by being identified as such. We can be called many things, but the real problem is that we are facing now is to work together with all races without regard to whether they are white, black, or whether they are yellow or brown. What we are trying to do now is to establish a system where that all can enjoy the truly the American dream. Mr. Brown, would you like to say something concerning this?
Yes, I'd like to say to this gentleman that I understand his feelings, and it's mostly because of it results from the teaching in this country that our color of skin, whatever color it may be, brown, light brown, tan, or dark, it has always been classified as Negro. And we have been taught in this country as the so-called Negro to believe that because of the color of our skin, we are somewhat inferior, and that we just are not as good as those of us who had lighter skin. It even happened in the Negro family itself, where lighter skin was supposedly better than darker skin. And many Negroes today still feel that the color of their skin is important. It is not important. I refer to myself as black, and I think nothing of it, because I refer to whites as white, and I am just as black black as whites are to white, and I see nothing wrong with describing myself as such. In fact, I used to think that my color of skin was not as good as others, but now I think my skin is as good as any color of skin in the world, and I am quite proud of my color of skin, so I call myself a black person.
Well, I know that in school and in other areas, you know, where the races tend to mix, you will hear someone say, well, there's a black person and stuff like that, and then they'll, you know, the Negroes, they will refer, you know, they'll use the phrase, there's a white person or something like that.
I'm sorry, sir, to interrupt. Our time is about up on the air. And thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
This is Viewpoint. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for sharing with us on Viewpoint this evening. I'm certain that Mr. Brown would join me in thanking the staff and the administration of KSDO. Tune now to KSDO 1170, 1130 on your radio dial. Tune in next week at the same time at the same station. Good night.
KSDO Radio, in cooperation with the News and Public Affairs Department of the Gordon Broadcasting Company, has presented Viewpoints, a program designed to promote a better understanding between people of all races through a meaningful exchange of opinion and comment. We invite you to be with us again next week at this same time, and we thank you for listening.